Echoes, the Backwards Series, Season 3, Episode 2, Flashback Ex Machina, by Jordan D. White.
Hold on to your helmets!
Fridris Fuzzbottom ducked down in the left sidecar of the Jettocycle as Jill Slaughter did the same in the right. Drellis Thornfield, their newly sane ally, clenched her thighs around the main body of the vehicle and rammed backwards, going into a loop-de-loop before diving straight at the ground. A little trailer full of equipment swung wildly behind the bike, carrying all the high-tech equipment and basket of ping-pong balls they'd acquired in their rendezvous back in time.
Are they still on our tails?
And gaining.
Perfect.
A horde of Vampiros Beggar Boys were rocketing after the three surviving members of the Flash Pack as they flared across the skyland of Vampiropolis, the capital of the Vampirosian Empire, in the year 4044.
Are you almost ready, Fertress?
I found it!
Here we go.
Mere feet from the ground in the middle of Huntington Square, Drellis pulled up, rocketing them back towards the sky at nearly an 80-degree angle.
Did they make it?
Behind them, two of the bikers smashed into the dirt in a blast of fire, but the vast majority made it in time to continue the chase, flying upwards in the same trajectory as the fleeing pack.
They're looking peachy so far.
Hit it, Catman.
As Fertris recited his spell, liquid lava flowed forth from his paw tips and fell in their wake, slathering across the flesh and leather of the biker boys speeding behind them. The pursuers screamed as their limbs singed off their bodies and their bikes erupted in flames as the lava burned into their flavidium tanks.
We got them! You crazy little feline, you burned their butts off!
I told you I could stop them! It was easy!
Guys, I'm all for celebrations, but we might want to get to the museum before someone else realizes who we are, don't you think?
Oh yeah, sorry. Hang on left and downish.
A minute or four later, protected by a force bubble of Fertris's creation, the trio smashed the cycle through the front gate to the Vampiropolis Museum of Natural and Unnatural History, before totaling the vehicle right in the middle of a painting depicting the beheading of Charles Darwin.
Keep moving! This is our only chance to save Max. We've got to make it.
According to the brochure, the Flashback exhibit is this way.
They booked down the hallway, hauling the cases of miscellaneous equipment, causing screams all around them as innocent Vampiro schoolchildren and history buffs recognized them. They could only assume the footsteps pounding towards them in their wake were security guards. Before long, they found themselves running towards a replica of the gates of the Flashpoint.
Inside, quick! Drellis, barricade the doors. Fertris, find the others. I'll set up the machine.
Easy for you to say. What can I use as a barricade?
I don't know. Use Keen's special freezer-stove combo.
What? She'd kill me!
It's a replica, remember? Besides, I think she'd rather lose her stove than... Okay, no. But it's only a replica. Just do it.
Holy hairballs! You might need to see this!
What is it, you little... Oh, my sweet laws of science!
In a case in the next room of the Flashpoint reconstruction stood the skeletonically preserved corpses of the Flash Pack. The entire Flash Pack, not just the fallen Max, Molly, Keen, and Jimmy.
But that's us in there!
That's nothing! Read the plaque!
The remains of the enemies of the Empire, the traitorous Flash Pack, and their homosexual leader, Max Thornfield.
See, they thought he was gay too!
Forget that! How did we get in there?
It doesn't say, it just says the Vampirosian Empire tracked us across time, hunting down every member until, well, here we are.
So... Do we resurrect all of us?
Why would we do that? We haven't died yet. If we die later, the others can bring us back. Or, preferably, we can stop us from dying in the first place. Now quick, get the others into the resurrection machine and don't knock over the ping pong ball.
Are you sure we should use it? Julie always said it so. One-time usage type deal. If this isn't the right time...
You want we should use it next time you kill half the group? No, I think this is the time. When I went back to take it from Julie, she seemed to think it was a good idea.
If this device really works, why didn't you use it when Julie died?
We would have, believe me. But I told you, we didn't have it anymore. Julie told us a flashback from the future came and took it from her as soon as she'd finished it. Which turned out to be us now. She said we just need the real bodies of our fallen friends.
I know, I just... don't want to end up in that display with them.
We could just go on like this, the three of us. We make a pretty good team. We could take out the Vampiros on our own, I bet. Especially me and
Just Max. Help us get them between the pylons, Fuzzface. Security's at the door.
All right.
Here's Max. That's the last of them.
All right. Stand back, everyone. Julie said all I have to do is something like this.
Slaughter swung down the large lever on the fourth pylon and electricity shot out in all directions, filling the air with blue-white light and standing all their hair on end, causing Fertris to become a little puffball of hair. The lights of the faux flashpoint dimmed, as energy was drawn from every nearby source, creating a soul vacuum, drawing back the eternal essences of their fallen friends. The ping-pong balls flew into the air, swirling around in a waltz through the tingling fields. The images of their comrades became visible in the buzzing air over the dead bodies.
Look! I can see Max's spirit! It's working!
Of course it is. Julie never lets us down.
What about the whole dying thing?
Are you trying to get your face pounded in? She died saving my life!
Oh, well then I owe her one.
Shut up, I think it's happening.
Indeed, the ping pong balls began whizzing about faster than the eye could follow, nearly giving Furchus whiplash as he attempted to track one. Then, in one last spectacular swoop, the balls all swirled and collided with the dead bodies on the floor. The energy vanished, the lights restored to full illumination, and the only sound was that of 57 ping pong balls bouncing on the floor.
Are they breathing?
They still smell dead. I don't think Jordy's machine...
Julie?
Max! You're alive! Oh, praise the holy pantheon!
Is that you, Julie?
Not quite. Are you guys okay?
Ugh, my occipital lobe hurts.
Oh, that I sort of ripped it out.
Did you take my colon too?
Sorry.
My head is pounding.
That might be the vampiros pounding on the door, actually. I think we should get out of here, Slatter!
You might be right. Hands, everyone.
The flashback all grasped one another by the hands, and Slatter sent them and their machinery spinning through the time as a full group for the first time in a long time. The pack flashed into existence again in a large chamber within a cave. The recently de-deceased members looked a little woozy.
Whoa.
Careful, Max. You're still weak.
Where did you take us, Jill?
First place I could think of. Remember that cave system in Italy we had that map for back before you died? I figured it would be safe to rest in.
So we really died? The last thing I remember was Drowz coming towards me, looking a little peeved.
I remember a bit more than that, but nothing since the axe caught me.
Gosh, Max, I'm so sorry. It was nothing personal.
I know your note, she didn't kill me.
You were hiding.
So, how did you bring us back?
Remember Julie's resurrection machine?
Julie?
You saw Julie?
Of course. She said the pack took it when we needed it most.
She gave us a bunch of other random stuff, too, see?
How long were we dead?
In our time, about a month.
A month? Oh my god. I have to go to the bathroom.
I guess it's a long time to hold it.
So what exactly happened, anyway? I can't believe we made Drowz that mad.
No, of course not, Max. I love you guys.
I think I can explain.
Slatter relayed all that had happened to the mini-pack since their leader had died. Meanwhile, Keen had slipped out of the mouth of the cave, but rather than going to the bathroom, she was using her info-glasses once again to contact her secret lover, Sir William Alfred Wickersham, 14th Lord Duke of Blackmoor.
Sir William Alfred Wickersham, 14th Lord Duke of Blackmoor.
William, my love.
Sir, you're alive. How wonderful. Splendiferous, truly. How did this wonderful, miraculous event occur?
That doesn't matter now. If you still feel the same way you did before I died, the answer is still yes.
Yes?
Of course I'll marry you.
Oh, yes. Yes, but of course. You haven't talked to your friends about us, have you?
Of course not. It's none of their business. They wouldn't understand anyway.
You know, I think you might just be right about that, my darling. Am I reading this right? Are you in Italy in 1941?
Yes, my love.
I'll meet you as soon as I can. Shall we say 5 miles south?
Coincidentally, the rest of the pack were discussing that self-same nobleman at that very instant.
Hang on. You're saying Sir William Alfred Wickersham is half Vampiros?
Well, it makes sense. He is the 14th Lord Duke of Blackmoor.
Of course! Why didn't I realize?
He's the reason I attacked all of you guys. He fed off my innocence, then set me loose to kill all of you. He would have turned me afterwards if not for Jill.
Hang on. Half Vampiros can make new Vampiros?
I should say so. How else could Sir William Alfred Wickersham have made us? Isn't that right, beloved?
But of course, sweetness.
Flaming Flotwana! Lucian Calliope! How did you find us, you malicious messire?
It was simple, fool.
We had a map.
There, in Lady Calliope's hand, was the map of the cave system which the pack had misplaced some months earlier.
And now, Flashpack, prepare to fall before the Vampirosian Empire.
Been there, done that. Right, Molly? Molly?
Where the heck is Molly?
Don't worry, my little throw rug. We'll kill her, too. Wherever she is.
Wherever she was running through the caves, bearing due south, toting a sword and tracking her good friend Sarah.
Keen, I never should have kept your relationship a secret. I knew William was up to no good. I just pray I'm not too late.
Will Molly reach Keen in time to save her? Will Max and company survive their encounter with Lucian and Calliope? Will they be able to stem the scourge of the Vampiros as a whole? And will they ever get home again? Find out for sure in the next episode of Epic Echoes, The End of the Beginning.